Let's go to Luke 6, verse 40. The disciple is not above his master, but everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. Perfect is a difficult word. Perfect is a difficult concept. Let's just look at a couple of them. Let's go two or three. Let's go to 2 Corinthians 13. This is the conclusion and benediction for the second Corinthian letter, starting in verse 11. Finally, brethren, farewell. Be perfect. Be of good comfort. Be of one mind. Live in peace. And the God of love and peace shall be with you. Greet one another with a holy kiss. All saints salute you. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ and the love of God and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Be perfect. It's not a suggestion. There's two words for perfect. One is teleos, means fully tested. One is katarphazo, which means complete, whole, sound. Perfection, from the standpoint of God, is when you have so abandoned yourself that there's no reference to you, even in your conversation or your thoughts. It's all about Him. Let's look at this one other that we've studied many times, about Hebrews 10. Anybody awake?
Yes.
Jeff, are you awake?
Kind of. This word in Corinthians is not the teleos, though. This is
no, it's kataphrazo. But it means the same thing. It doesn't. It's just two different words. It's like we would say in English, ideal. More perfect. I mean, it's the same. There's no subtleties that I've been able to determine that makes a difference. Verse 9. Then he said, Lo, I come to do thy will, O God. He taketh away the first, that he may establish the second, by the which will we are sanctified through the offering of the body of Jesus Christ once and for all. Past tense, we are sanctified. Past tense. Now keep that word sanctified in mind. And every priest standeth daily ministering and offering oftentimes the same sacrifices, which can never take away sins. But this man, after he had offered one sacrifice for sins forever, sat down on the right hand of God, from henceforth expecting till his enemies be made his footstool. For by one offering he hath perfected forever them that are sanctified. So if we are sanctified by his offering, then we are also perfected by his offering. Past tense. What's going on? The one thing that doesn't know this, no matter if you're a believer or not, is your mind. Because your mind is like Edom. It's like the ocean. All rivers flow into it, yet it can never be full. It can never be satisfied. Perfection has to do with rest. Perfection has to do with the Sabbath. Perfection has to do with being fully tested. Perfection has to do with waiting only on God. Perfection has to do with making no reference to yourself, etc., etc., etc. All right, let's go to Hebrews 13. Again, this is a benediction from the letter of Hebrews. So start in verse 18. Pray for us, for we trust we have a good conscience in all things, willing to live honestly. But I beseech you, the rather to do this, that I may be restored to you the sooner. Now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. Again, perfect in every good work. Let me see. Let's go to 1 Peter one more. Chapter 5. Verse 6. Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober. And remember, sober has nothing to do with drinking, except as a not drinking the wine of Ephraim, which is self-seeking. Be sober it means correct thinking. And correct thinking means that you've brought every thought into obedience, into captivity to the obedience of Christ. You've cast down the imaginations and all of the high places of your mind, so there's no tendency any longer for idolatry nor for cause and effect. Amen?
Yeah.
All right, that's not what we're going to study, though. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about, seeking whom he may devour. Whom resist steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who hath called us unto his eternal glory by Christ Jesus, after you have suffered a while, make you perfect, establish, strengthen, settle you. To him be glory and dominion forever and ever. So the idea is the disciple is not above his master, back to Luke 6. But everyone that is perfect shall be as his master. And it says, as he is in the world. Let's look at that one more. Let's one more before we leave it. Go to 1 John 4. Whosoever shall confess that, in verse 15, I'm sorry. Whosoever shall confess that Jesus is the Son of God, God dwelleth in him, and he in God. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. He that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. As he is, present tense, so are we, present perfect. As he is in this world, so are we. Again, it doesn't look like that.
Why is love used here instead of charity, which is used as love in so many other translations when we looked at Corinthians 13? Love here.
It's the same word. It's agape.
Okay.
There's no difference except in the way the translator was looking at it. As he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casteth out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. Now we love, where it says him, if you have a pencil or a pen, cross out him. It's not in the text. We love, period. But we love because he first loved us. If any man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. This next few verses are really, to me, some of the most interesting in the Bible from a finality standpoint. So let's look at it. I mean, it's from a what is rather than what should be. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now, you can say you believe he is the Christ, but that's not what the believe here means. You believe that he is in the Christ because you bet your life on it. Yeah. And if he is the Christ, then everything in the universe is perfect, because it is the days of Messiah. It's exactly as it should be. Now, no matter how much you can't hear this, that means that he has wrought all your works in you. All your crap, all your bullshit, all your rebellion, he has wrought in you. What for what purpose? To cause you to be fitly able to be joined together in this mystery of the bride. So you've been molded and cut up and shaped by every circumstance of your life, so you can fit into this mystery of the bride. Amen? That's a biggie, but that's not what we're studying. And every one that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten of him. It's an automatic. Everyone that loveth him that begat loveth him also that is begotten of him. That's a big one. Well, then I can say, that means if I don't love you, that means you're not begotten of God. That's what a Pharisee would say. That's the test of a Pharisee. Anyway, let's go on. By this we know that we love the children of God, when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whosoever is born of God overcometh the world, and this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. Who is he that overcometh the world, but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Now, this next part is the one I was talking about that's most interesting to me. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. For there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. And there are three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. And these three agree in one. And this is, it's like we've said often, it's like a three-pronged plug that has, and in earth, the three are the water, the Spirit, and the blood. In heaven, these three are the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And they plug into so that there's a joint you fit, just like putting a plug in an electric light bulb. There's no more separation. Now, what does it mean? Both of them have the Father. I know they don't.
Spirit.
Listen, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, these three. And the three that bear witness in earth, the Spirit, the water, and the blood. What is the water? We know what the Spirit is, the Holy Spirit. We know what the blood is, the shed blood of Christ. What is the water? Some say it was the water that escaped from Christ's heart when the centurion... No, that's not it. The waters are, the blood covers the offerings and the trespass and the sin offering. But there's something before that, and it's the waters of purification. It's the waters of purification that even Jesus had to go through, because whenever he raised someone from the dead, then he was Levitically unclean. And he had to go through the waters of purification. That means the Son of God was unclean according to the law. And he had to go through the waters of purification. If a woman was accused of adultery, she had to go through the waters of purification. If you even stepped on a bone from a dead body, you had to go through the waters of purification. Now, there's something mysterious here about these waters. He finished it for us, but if we aren't apprehended by the water, and we confuse sin with uncleanness, then we've missed the whole point of life.
What about baptism?
That's not the water. That's just your burial. But can you understand about being unclean spiritually? It has nothing to do with sin. It has to do with something has transpired. You have touched the dead body. I don't want to get really esoteric here, but you have touched the dead body if you give credence to self. If you return to self for any reason. If you go inward. Lead us not into this thing. Now, again, how do the waters work then? They're not hardly discussed. The reason they're not hardly discussed, it's like the Bible was written to people that knew the law. That's the predicate. That's what Paul said, I write unto you that know the law. But when we have cut ourselves off from the Old Testament, and we've cut ourselves off from the temple offerings, and we've cut ourselves off from the meaning of the feasts, then we have to invent things to create. Now, if anybody has read the law, it is totally overriding with the waters of purification for whole bunches of different things. So something is important here. Listen, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost, and these three are one. And there are three that bear witness inward, the Spirit, the blood, and the water, or the water and the blood, and these three agree in one. So something has to happen in us, and it has to happen in a way that makes us free from sin by the blood and free from uncleanliness by the water. Now, I don't know why this isn't hardly ever talked about. But again, I promise you, if you can be, and you don't have to know all of the details of the offering and what was necessary and the uncleanliness and the waters and the ashes of the red heifer and all that. But you have to know that it has to be acknowledged in you that completed work of Christ regarding the waters takes care of that uncleanness. But if you don't have any recognition of it, then the uncleanness can manifest itself as guilt, all kinds of things. Does this communicate to anybody?
Studied this in the 90s, clarity of the studying jealousy, touching a dead body, and it all engendered peace.
And leprosy, remember leprosy.
Leprosy, and the understanding is, it somehow brings peace deep inside, or it did to me when we studied it.
Right. Just don't let that peace leave you. Because your eyes are going after something else. But it's covered, for by one offering you've been sanctified forever. By one offering you've been perfected forever. It's in that, but if you haven't been apprehended by it, then you can get confused about these feelings of uncleanness. Amen? Anybody know what I'm talking about?
Yes.
All right.
I used to see these Orthodox Jews in New York in a building I lived in, and they were, if someone looked at you crossways, they'd wash and repent and pray, and then they were always washing, and everything was cleaning and washing and washing and cleaning. I mean, endlessly. Like a pageant.
Let's go to one scripture about this, John 13. Verse 1. Now before the feast of the Passover, when Jesus knew that his hour was come, that he should depart out of the world unto the Father, having loved his own which were in the world, he loved them unto the end. And supper being ended, the devil having now put into the heart of Judas Iscariot, Simon's son, to betray him, and Jesus knowing the Father had given all things into his hands, that he was come from God and went to God, he riseth from supper, and laid aside his garments, and took a towel, and girded himself. And after that he poureth water into a basin, and began to wash the disciples' feet, and to wipe them with the towel wherewith it was girded. Then cometh he to Simon Peter, and Peter saith unto him, Lord, thou wash my feet? And Jesus answered and said unto him, What I do knowest not now. What I do thou knowest not now, but thou shalt know hereafter. And Peter said unto him, Thou shalt never wash my feet. Jesus answered him, If I wash thee not, thou hast no part with me. And Simon Peter saith unto him, Lord, not my feet only, but also my hands and my head. And Jesus saith unto him, He that is washed needeth not save to wash his feet, but is clean every whit. And you are clean, but not all. No.
Touch the world.
Yeah, it's how do you touch yourself, but that that's not the, how do you touch the dead body when you give breath to yourself. You touch the world when you give importance to the world, to the system. And so in touching the, and both are dead from God's standpoint. So the whole idea of the meaning of the waters is that if you can see it, you are cleansed. All right? A little bit? All right, that's enough for today. Everybody understand perfectly?
Perfect.
Take it big time.